morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday. This is Reverend Koyo Kubose here, and I'm glad you've joined us on this Sunday morning, January 23rd. Well, there are a couple of things that are going on right now, and as usual, whatever's going on around oneself, you know, dominate, just sort of like glasses that has a certain tint of color. Whatever glasses you got on, that's the way how you see everything. And we got the Bears NFC Championship game today. And if you cut me, I'll bleed some Bears blood. We were in Chicago a long time, and so I'm a big sports fan. So we're going to be trying to beat those dreaded cheesehead Packers today, but it doesn't look good. So kind of immunizing myself to prevent the disappointment. Another thing that I've been doing the last few weeks, and it's still high in my consciousness, is I'm trying to get rid of a stump. You know, I have a garden, and right in the pathway into the garden, there's this big tree stump. And I had a friend try to pull it out with his pickup truck, put a chain around it, and it broke the hitch on his truck. Even though we dug around it and we put water in there to loosen it up, and it's a big old thing, maybe about 2 feet in diameter. And then I drilled some holes in the top and I poured in some commercially powder that's supposed to, you know, work and disintegrate it. And you're supposed to let it sit for half a year and then you could burn it out. Someone said you could burn it, you know, like you put a fire on it and then just let the hot coals just sit on there all, you know, overnight. So I said, well, I'm going to burn this thing up. So I built a fire and I put some charcoal briquettes on there later, and I kept the fire burning with hot coals for 3 days straight, right on top of the stump. What happened? Nothing. This stump is tough. So I said, well, I guess I'm going to try to, I didn't know what to do. I said, well, I'm going to, maybe I borrowed some wedges, you know, for splitting wood, and a sledgehammer, and I went at it. And I might be able to do it, you know, but it would take a lot of time, a lot of work to get it. Then I said, okay, I guess I'm going to go rent a stump grinder. I was hoping to avoid that and just do it myself without getting the rental equipment. But I made a reservation to get one on Monday, tomorrow, and I'm going to grind it up. But what struck me is, I haven't processed it completely, but, you know, you want to try something, and it's only after you experience something that you know it's not going to work, and then you move on. And usually when you're tackling a problem, you try the simplest or easiest thing first, and then you move up and you try something else. And if it's only when you're doing it and trying it, then you say, oh, this is not going to work. You can't think it out, really. You got to try it and say, oh, no, this is not going to work, you know. There's no way to get the feedback logically or rationally about how to tackle this problem until you try. Trial by error, I guess they call it. And then you feel that you tackle it the best way you could, and until you found a way that worked, you know, and that was efficient and compatible with how you wanted to handle things. And so I'm going to see what happens. Maybe nothing's as easy as it seems. And I hope I don't have too much trouble. I never used a stump grinder before, but I'll see what happens. And I'm going to think about this stump and think about how it related to the Dharma teachings and so forth some more. But I just thought I'd share what was going on in my life right now. Well, let's see what's going on. We've got a guest this morning to give a Dharma glimpse. He's Toyo Katamori of Worcester, Massachusetts. I was just touching base with him before the show a little bit, and they said they got a lot of snow on the East Coast. The most snow since the big storm of 78. And indeed, weather is such a such a big part of the background of our lives. Well, Toyo is part of our LM3, or Lay Minister 3 group, that was inducted last May. And so without further ado, for this morning's Dharma Glimpse, Toyo Sensei.
Oh, thank you very much, Reverend Toyo Kaboshi, and good luck with your stump. Sounds to me like you're dealing with a lot of tools in your toolbox there. My Dharma Glimpse is about a Buddhist toolbox. I've been using a lot of tools lately, so I just started thinking and trying to put it together, and this is what I come up with. The toolbox. Everyone has one. You might have one or two, maybe three, conveniently within reach. So to allow the proper fixings of just about everything at your home or even at a friend's house. Toolboxes in every person's life, no matter if they don't know how to use what's in them. There are many types of toolboxes. Some are larger, more elaborate than others. But it's not the size of the elaboration that counts. It is what's in the toolbox that really is most important. These are the tools in the toolbox. They are chosen because of the application they serve. These tools are our servants and serve our needs. Sometimes they need to be borrowed by other buddies and friends. They are always the basic toolbox and the tools in the toolbox. And common tools like screwdrivers, hammers, rulers, squares, levels, and plumbs, maybe even a stump grinder. In many cases, there's a special tool in there, one that was only used once or twice, cost the most. However, it has gotten the job done. There's another toolbox, which will you not find in any shed or garage. It's a Buddhist toolbox. It's stored apart, unseen, and within. It is our toolbox that so many have. It's now loaded with tools, full to the top. These tools are so different in comparison, but all have the same type of results. In the end, not everyone really knows how many tools they even have. Not to forget to mention how to even use them in there. Many have used tools by ancient times, by accident, and didn't realize until later. Some are neglected and turn rusty over time. How many times do we, as Buddhists, go to our toolbox looking for the right tool? As we develop in our Dharma, we have learned through practice which tool is right for a particular job. We'll still screw it up, but we work it out with another tool or eventually make it right. We struggle as we open up our toolbox and find it is at its capacity. We find usages for our tools. We bring them to the Sangha, a workshop for Dharma tools. These tools we have were given to us by the Buddha, our teacher. He is the teacher and has provided us with the knowledge of the tools. The Dharma is the teachings, and they are the tools in our toolbox. The Sangha is the taught and the workshop where we use our tools. There are three major tools in our Buddhist toolbox that are most important to our Dharma. They are the square, level, and plumb. These are old tools and have been around since the Neolithic period, maybe even before. Once designed, time was invented, buildings were erected, and roads were laid across our world. But for Buddhists, these tools, square, level, and plumb, are old as well. Many fraternal societies, over time, use these same tools and all adapted their own meanings in relations to comparisons. The level is the three treasures, using the Buddha in the middle to balance the ends, which the Sangha and the Dhamma are perched. Without these three coinciding with one another, the level does not show true. A Buddhist acts on the level and conducts themselves in a level state in all transactions in nature. The Buddha is the teacher, the Dhamma is the teachings, and the Sangha is the taught. The square, the Four Noble Truths. The square is the fourth part of a circle, two in which is oneness. The square, put to work, that as it is used to give four equal proportions, so the level and the plum show true. The first noble truth of the reality of dukkha as part of the condition of existence. The second noble truth, that dukkha is a casual arising. The third noble truth of the end of dukkha. And the fourth noble truth of the path that leads to awakening. The plum is the eightfold path and is worked in such a way that it exemplifies 8 degrees of the Dhamma, right speech, right view, right thought, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right meditation. As we pass through the Dhamma, sometimes we are not level and our actions not square, and we need to focus on which degree of the plum we are standing. There are other tools that we use after checking our work for level, square, and plum. The hammer, screwdriver, ruler, pliers, and scissors are also in our Buddhist toolbox. These five tools can be related to five precepts. Abstain from killing living beings. Abstain from taking that which is not given. Abstain from sexual misconduct. Abstain from false speech. Abstain from distilled substances that confuse the mind, such as alcohol and drugs. However, they are not defined as the square, level, and plumb, which allows all of us to decide which precept is matched with these five subordinate tools in our Buddhist toolbox. Although one fact remains certain, they are all anicca and permanent and need to be replaced with a new, and all are interdependent of one another. So take care of those tools and every now and then start a project to in which you will need to use the square, the level, and the plumb in your Buddhist toolbox. And that is my Dhamma glimpse.
Thank you very much. Very creative analogy and working with the Dharma. And as is my practice for Live Dharma Sunday, I just sort of listen and kind of riff off of the Dharma glimpse, sort of like a jam session, and free associate. I kind of enjoy that. It's kind of exciting, not having anything preordained to talk about, you know, and just let it be dynamic and open and see what gets triggered and pulled out of me by someone else's comments, not knowing what they're going to talk about. And, you know, a couple of things. One time I was, we all have a lot of tools. And I guess maybe it's a combination of taking the tools for granted and also not being experienced with tools, so that one's awareness about the condition of tools and the physical condition of tools, you know, not being a very observant. For example, one time, a brother was at my place, and he was working on something, fixing something at my house. And after he was finished, we were talking about it, and he goes, "Hey, by the way, you know, just because I told him, you know, you need a screwdriver? It's in that drawer there." And he said, your screwdriver, it was a Phillips screwdriver, and the tip. He said, your tip is all worn out. I said, oh. And it won't work good. Plus, it might strip the threads on the screw because it's so worn out. So then I went to take a look. I never looked that closely at the tip of a Phillips screwdriver. Maybe if it was a slot head, you could see that it's damaged and not straight and complete. But with a Phillips, you know, it's got four aspects and they were just worn down and kind of corroded or whatever. Not corroded, but worn out. And if you glance at it, you don't, it's not very obvious. But if you look at it closely, you say, oh, yeah. You know, the flanges are not sharp and definite. You won't get a good grip when you stick it into the screw top, the screw head. I said, gee, I never even thought about it. You grab a screwdriver and no wonder sometimes maybe when you're trying to screw in a screw, it's slipping and so forth. You say, oh, man, this is a tough screw. But maybe it's not. Maybe your tools got worn out. Your screwdriver. Huh? So I went and took a look at some other screwdrivers, Phillips, and a lot of my tools were all worn out. Of course, I've had them for a long time. I don't know, you know, common screwdrivers. Might have had them for 40, 50 years, and, yeah, they get worn out. Never thought about it. My brother said, hey, you should throw those things out. They're going to just keep them around. You know, they're going to do more harm than good. So I learned something about being more aware. And, of course, that's a lesson we have to use in a lot of areas of our lives. Okay? And it's a tremendous thing to start to learn, get feedback, and become more aware of the need for being observant of the condition of things. Now, another association I had to the aspects of tools is, you know, when you get a new tool, well, this was when I was going to school, and one of our profs was talking about how in any field, sometimes a new instrument, say a measuring instrument, or a new technique, in this particular case, it was a statistical analysis, a new technique, you know, how to analyze your data. And it was kind of neat. It did a lot of powerful things. And so a lot of researchers started to use this new technique of employing statistics, certain model toward how to handle the data. It became kind of a fad. And the prof said, yeah, and so it started to be used perhaps inappropriately, too widely. Everyone jumped on the bandwagon and said, hey, this is a new way to look at things, and wow, isn't this great? And so like in all kinds of areas or applications, you can get caught up in a fad. And the prof said, gave a kind of a down-home example of, it's sort of like, it's the bad application of law of the tool or law of the instrument, where the tool takes over, it dominates everything. And the example he gave was, if you give a little kid a hammer, he thinks everything's a nail. And so maybe sometimes if you get infatuated with a certain tool, a certain practice, a certain way to do something, and you get rigid in it, and you say, this is the only way to do things. Oh, you've got to meditate an hour every morning. If you don't meditate, you're not really a serious Buddhist. Or something similar like this, where the law of the instrument, the law of the tool, goes overboard. And this is, a problem, because when do you apply something, some way of thinking or application, and not only how skillful do you do it, but how do you know when to push something, when to draw back? We could say common sense, advice from others, and there's nothing like personal experience, okay? About, because otherwise you might say, well, I better have more determination, perseverance, effort, willpower, and I'm going to use this personal practice, spiritual practice, apply myself, full steam ahead. But maybe we might, if it turns into kind of a blind stubbornness, not so good. Maybe if it's like, my way or the highway, okay? Even though it's only with regard to one's own spirituality and growth, maybe one gets, sometimes we humans tend to get a little stubborn, okay? We don't listen to others. We don't listen to feedback, only until personal experience. Even then, sometimes we just keep bumping our heads against a brick wall. Or like a fly that's trying to get out of a bumping against a glass window. Maybe the window is open, the doors are open, maybe another window is open, but he just bang, bang, bang his head against one particular corner of the pane of a window. Okay, that's his nature. He just sees boom, boom. So we get, sometimes in Japanese we say ishiyakama, translated as a ishi is a rock or stone, and atama is the head, like a stone head, a rock head. In other words, somebody who's very stubborn. And a lot of times, people are like that. They won't listen to anybody. So sometimes we get that way with our tools, with our techniques, with something that we hold precious. And we hold it too tight. You have to be skillful. Or know when to hold them, know when to fold them. You know? So it's hard to generalize. Okay? We always have to be flexible. See what's going on right now. And the other thing about tools, I think, are the skill of the user. You could have the greatest tool there is, but, the real craftsman, the tool itself makes a big difference. You got the right tool, holy, and knowing the availability of a tool, sometimes you don't even know there's a tool for such a thing. For example, my brother, he's a tool man. He's got a workshop that he's a handyman, and it's his hobby. He goes, looks through catalogs, and he collects tools. And he's got so many tools. It's fascinating. Sometimes I talk about something, problem at our place. He goes, hey, I got the tool for that. And it's a specialized tool for doing one thing. It's not an all-purpose tool like a screwdriver and a hammer. socialize today. And I'm sure hardly ordinary folks never even knew about. Wow. And it does the job. So knowing that such a tool exists is one thing. And then how to use it properly is another, you know. So all of these things are involved when you talk about tools. In the same way, I think it applies to one's spiritual growth. One has to be able to see oneself, assess the situation or problem, to know what kinds of ways it could be dealt with. Because a lot of times, sometimes it's not stubbornness, it's ignorance. Gee, if I had known this was available and easy fix, oh yeah, I didn't know. You know. And sometimes it's hard to know because one's background, one's education, one's karmic conditions. Some parents don't know how to parent. Maybe they came from a dysfunctional family. All they know is how they were raised. Smack the kid. They need to be educated. So being aware that one does not know. Okay. It's true ignorance when one doesn't even know that one is ignorant. So, I need help. And I can get help. Then you could go Depot and ask somebody that knows, and you could get a tool. I think this whole tool analogy is very interesting. And someone says, "Hey, I gotta fix a problem here," and I go to this retreat and learn some. Get some experiences and learn some techniques, and just like going to Home Depot and asking someone who's has experience in the plumbing department. Okay, and you see how it's done. You see what's possible. If a repair person comes over my place, I always watch them. Boy, do I learn! You learn how to do things, And a lot of that knowledge transfers to other kinds of situations. You start to, when someone's handy, he could deal with a lot of different other kinds of problems. It's a way of thinking. I always told my wife, whenever she has a little car problem, open the hood and just stand there. Commune with the car. You'd be surprised what you could, just a novice could see by just standing there instead of saying, "Well, I don't know nothing about cars. I got to go to the mechanic." Just open it up. Just stand there. And then you might hear a little voice that says, "Oh, I'm loose." This wire says, "Oh, I'm loose. Look at it. It's hanging there. Oh, and it plugged in right there." Yeah. To know that one can do something about things, and you start to get confidence in oneself. That's the greatest tool there is. Well, that's all for today's broadcast. And I thank everyone for calling in today. I put my hands together, and since we're on the West Coast, I'll sort of scan eastward, and I'll say, there's already so many more days to springtime. So keep that in mind, because more beautiful weather will be coming your way. Thank you.